good fight. And I've thought about healing, a lot about healing, you know, this morning, early this morning while I'm before the Lord. But you know, the title is The Good Fight. And I like it. You know, there's good fights and there's bad fights. A bad fight is when you lose. But the Bible don't talk about bad fights in there. Every time he told them, even in the Old Testament, to go out to battle, he went before them and went with them. And he delivered the enemies into their hands. And how many knows through Jesus, we've been delivered from the powers of darkness.
Amen.
Already.
Amen.
I said, we've already been delivered from the powers of darkness.
Amen.
And in Jesus, we've already been healed.
Yeah.
We've already been delivered from sickness and disease. We already done. It's already done. And some might say, well, why then, if it's already done, why does things happen? Because we live in a fallen world. You know, I mean, there was total union with God in the Garden of Eden. Total union with Him. And then the fall of man, when Adam turned over power and authority to Satan. And that is when the curse came on the earth through one man's disobedience, the Bible says. Sin entered in, the curse entered in. But by one man's obedience, talking about Jesus,
yeah.
See, he was in total obedience to the Lord. Then he paved the way for me and you to be back. But it's in Jesus.
Right, amen.
The Bible says, in him we move, breathe, and have our being. Now see, why a lot of things, God orchestrated things don't happen in people's lives, they don't fight.
Right.
See, you must have a fighting spirit. Once you're born again, you've not been given a spirit of timidity.
Right.
Fear.
Amen.
But if you look at the word fear, it means cowardly. It means timid. You know, it means you just let anything happen. You know, Jesus hadn't given us a spirit of timidity.
Amen.
To fear. But of love, power, and a sound mind, the Bible says.
Amen.
And so we must have a mentality to fight the good fight of faith. That's what the scriptures. Give me that first scripture, Beth, before I go too far, too quick. This is Proverbs 18:14. It says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear it? But another translation, it says, the strong spirit of a man. If you look this up and study it out, it says, the strong spirit of a man.
Amen.
Will sustain him in sickness and weakness and infirmity. It says, the strong spirit of a man. Okay, now what about a weak one who can bear it? Now, how do we get strong spiritually? See, we get born again of the Spirit of God. We're born of the Spirit of God, but our spirit man is babies.
Yeah.
Just like in the natural, everything in the spirit parallels with like natural, you know, so that we can see and understand things. But a baby, when a baby is born in the natural, that baby's not mature. Come on, somebody, that baby can't change its diaper, that baby can't eat, that baby, all that baby knows is it's hungry. Right?
Amen.
Well, spiritually, that is the same way we are. We get born again, and we're babies. We're babies spiritually. And the way we grow and develop is the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, we take the Word of God, of course, prayer. You know, and whatever, coming to church. But we take the Word of God and we begin to build our spirit man up. So that the Bible says the strong spirit of a man spiritually strong, will be sustained.
Amen.
So, that's why I really, really major on the Word of God in my life. And then in anything, try to do it in everything. Because the Word of God gives you the will of God. You find the will of God in the Word of God.
Amen.
You know why I'm convinced that healing's for everybody. It's for everybody. I'm convinced because just like salvation, it was for all mankind, everybody. I mean, God don't want not one person not to enter into heaven. It is his will. Well, the same way it is healing. You know, I mean, my body does a lot of things, but I don't tolerate it. Statistics say at 54 years old, I know a lot of 54 years old, they can't even, I know a lot of 30-year-olds can't keep up with me. Praise God. Now, my body's been wanting to quit a long time. But I don't believe what my life is going to be based on my body. I go to the Word of God and I say, bless God, the Bible still says in 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed.
Amen.
And I get up and I tell my body, something happened this morning in my wrist. I don't know. And I have this shooting pain. And it kind of sounds like people explain to me arthritis. Just the symptoms of it, arthritis. Shooting in your bones, aching in your bones. I'm not going to tolerate that garbage.
Amen.
Well, it's hereditary. No, I don't care. I got the blood of Jesus. I got the Word of God. And the Bible says the strong spirit of the man will sustain him while he fights off this job. And so I just laid my hands on my wrist this morning. I said, you foul, evil spirit, I command you to loose me in the name of Jesus. I've been redeemed from the curse, and I'm not going to be in pain. And I command my wrist to line up with the Word of God. You are healed.
Amen.
I'm not hurting one bit. I'm not just telling you my story. This garbage happens to me with finances. It happens to me with ministry. It happens to me with everything. And I am going to fight the good fight. See, a good fight is a fight that you win. You know, I got in a fight one time. Three guys broke my nose and cracked my ribs. That was a bad fight, Johnny. They beat me up. That guy slayed me. Well, I'm pulling my shirt off. If you're going to fight, don't be stupid. Leave your shirt on. I got my shirt over my head and they pounced me. All three of them. I'm just getting ready. You're going to rip my shirt off, you know, man. That's the West Country boy did, rip your shirt off. I don't know why, but I reckon we got to show ourselves bad before we get to the fight. I don't really know why I did. But that taking my shirt off got me whipped. I mean, they cracked my ribs and a lot of different things. And you know, I got over here in the kingdom of God and I thought, well, bless God, this is a different fight now.
Amen.
You know, we're in a different war now. I mean, don't you entered into battle when you became a Christian. So ain't no need you later, well, I think I'm going through this, Lord. Why? Then I'm going to stop all of that baby stuff. Time to get that word and say, glory to God, I got the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God, Ephesians says. Well, you know, every now and then Satan comes to me and he says, boy, if you just smoke you a joint, remember how good I loved smoking pot. I mean, I literally enjoyed. People that say they didn't like smoking pot, they didn't get nothing like I got. Like God, I got some red-haired pants back under that, you know, a tie stick, some of that tie stick. They call it tie stick. Shoot, man, half a tote. That's all you want. Boy, you'll be stoned here in a minute now. You know. But every now and then he'll come to me. It'll be good. Especially if I'm under pressure in ministry and under pressure in business, under pressure and things ain't going good at home. Travis is attacked sick. Him, that might be, whatever the case might be. And I'll have this thought every now and then. Boy, it wouldn't have been good. I could smoke a joint longer than a power pole. Well, I mean, I just have that thought because I thought I always mellow out, man. It just mellows me out, man. You know, and all that. And I'll just say, glory to God, you lying idiot. I've been redeemed from that, bless God. I don't have to have that as a pressure bearer. Praise God, the Prince of Peace. He's my peace, hallelujah. He's my joy. He's my strength. And I just resist it. I just fight it off. I mean, don't you got to resist the devil. If you don't resist him, I mean, you're just saying, come on, handcuff. wrong, just hand cop me. You'd be like Samson.
Yeah.
I mean, before you know it, he lost all of his strength, everything, and the enemy was able to bind him up then. Bound him up and put him to labor and put his eyes. I mean, that was the first thing Satan will do when you start giving in to him and this junk is take your vision.
Yeah, right.
He takes your vision. Vision of anything in God, vision of the good life, vision of having any finances. He wants you to be blind to the fact that God has a good plan for your life, a good plan of prosperity and peace and healing and strength. Glory to God. Thank God I'm not weak. Thank God you're not weak. This church ain't weak. If you stay here, you will grow up. You'll pay your bills on time. You'll quit lying? I mean, really? I mean, it's just, we can't help it. We take it on God's nature, hallelujah. I mean, we don't work, and then we just find ourselves, we're not satisfied unless we work. That's a weird one to me, because I used to work hard to get out of work. And I find that I'm addicted to Jesus. I mean, I find that I'm addicted to the things of God. I'm addicted to faith, man. I'm addicted to believing God. I mean, I can't help it. It just thrills me to believe God to come through for me, to work all things together for the. It's called the good fight of faith, knowing that if I fight, that God will do his part, that God will release what he's wanted in my life and in your life. Hallelujah. But it says the strong spirit of a man. Watching the news yesterday and got plumb sick of it. Turned it off. Turned me on some preaching. They wasn't saying nothing bad. I mean, I wasn't hearing really nothing bad. It's about COVID. It's going away now. We figured that. It's on its last leg. We figured all of that. Some of y'all get it later.
Preach it, brother.
Hallelujah, I'm going to. Because this world ain't going to dictate what I believe. This world ain't going to dictate what I know in God. The new. So I just turned it off, turned on some preaching, and so me and Teresa watch us preaching, and here's preaching. And she got her phone on preaching up till about 9:30 last night. Can't you tell I'm anointed this morning?
Amen.
I didn't get full of junk all night. Hallelujah. Ready to fight the good fight of faith this week. You got all of y'all precious people in here, bless God, that's going on and going to have the promises of God, which are in him, yes, and in him, amen. And Teresa taught us this morning about who God loves, he chastens. He's chastening some of them this morning. What about what I'm fixing to say that's sitting in their living room watching me preach this morning when they can go to the house of God and get involved in the things of God and pay your tithes.
Amen.
If God can't get it to you through T.D. Jakes on TV, he put me in your living room this morning. Amen. Or Benny Hinn, whoever you listen to, praise God. Now, man, there's a corporate anointing that people sitting in their living room this morning is not going to partake of. They love Jesus. I don't doubt it. Praise God. But they ain't got the strength to fight off the couch sheets, man, to go to church. Come on, somebody. The strong spirit of a man, read your Bible, Proverbs 18:14, will gear you up for church. It'll gear you up for the work of the ministry. It'll gear you up to fall into your calling. It'll gear you up to be the father that God wants you to be. It'll gear the strong spirit of a man will cause you to be the mother that you want, that you won't really want to be, that God has created in you. But if you're weak spiritually, well, I get the Bible every now and then. Yeah, we can tell we don't ever see in church. And then you're all the time on Facebook putting up, please pray for me, Molly. Just get a prayer chain going. Hallelujah. We got one right over here at Bluntsville, 260 Ashley Circle. It's called the Prayer of Faith.
Hallelujah.
But God, we just had one healed of cancer that we prayed for that lives not too far from here, praise God, diagnosed with terminal cancer. And we prayed for him, bless God, and the last doctor with him, the fellow went back to, he's healed of the cancer.
Amen.
Thank God we was here to pray for him, right?
Right.
Thank God we wasn't sitting there living room, might not have knew nothing about it. They might have died. See, we don't just fight just for us. See, we're fighting for other folks. Just like Jesus, he's our mediator. Did you know he's standing in the gap for me and you? Come and stood in the gap for me and you. Some of the mess that I have to go through and endure and build myself up, I've got other folk that I'm going to have to lead through that river. I'm going to have to lead through that mess. Just like Teresa was talking about, you start out, you know, and you've got these dreams of having a nice future and nice cars and all that. Then things happen, and I mean, looks like you're going to lose it all. Looks like you're going nowhere, but you know what that did? That put me in a place where I quit borrowing money. I don't borrow, and I drive what I want to. I still get the stuff. I don't charge doors anymore. I got the money to pay for them.
Amen.
But all of that hardship and all of that yielding to the Lord and resisting the enemy and resisting doing wrong, it always exalts you in righteousness, the Bible says. In righteousness, Isaiah 54:17-14. In righteousness shall thou be established. You'll be far from oppression. Then it goes on and says, and no weapons formed against you will prosper. See, it's not just we're in the dispensation of grace and we can just do anything and God's favor is just, oh no, we still got to follow the Holy Spirit. We got to follow the right way, the right path. We got to walk in the light as He is in the light. We got to mature, hallelujah. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child. But when I became a man, I put away foolish things. Teresa, this morning I cooked breakfast for my family now on Sunday for 26, 27 years. You know, I know how to cook biscuits. Whew. They good, man. I could eat three or four of them. I could eat one now, buddy. But you know, she took the garbage out this morning, and so I drank me a little bit of coffee, and so I usually put the eggshells in the garbage. Well, I got turned around there and the garbage was gone. And so I thought, well. So I got my cup, set it up there, and put the three eggs in there, and I just put the eggshells in the cup and just set it up on the counter. And so she comes through there, life gets good. What? And she don't want me telling. So I'm over there, and she just got through eating my breakfast that I cooked for her and me. And then she says, look, all you've got to do is step out right here in the garbage on the back porch. And I looked at her when she come in and I said, that's information that I don't need that I already know. She said, well then, do it. Woo, glory to God. Thank God for God's grace in my house on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. But you know what, praise God? Now, me and her used to didn't have that kind of relationship. I mean, it used to, we're fighting all the time. And, you know, back before, and even after we got saved, we really didn't have a lot of character, you know, and everything. But as time has went on, praise God, I thank the Lord. She went on. She was just messing with me. I guess she was, but I took it that way. I don't care if she was or not. I thought it was funny. But I told the Lord right there, she went on. I said, thank you, Lord, for my wife.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. She's in there studying this morning to go do Sunday school for your people, Lord, for you. Thank you, Lord, that I've got a godly wife. Thank you, Lord. See, if your husband or your wife is in church or serving the Lord, you ought to be praising God whether you like them or not. You ought to be praising God because you fought the good fight, and I'm living my dream. She's all I ever cared about. I was even jealous of Travis when she got pregnant because he's getting her attention. Crazy, ain't he? She was born, and I told her one time, I said, you love him more than you love me. Crazy, ain't it? How the devil make you think? And now she goes, and I went in the other day, and I said, you didn't get nothing for the grandkids. Well, they had a coat. I told her she can't stop buying for them. Well, I mean, they had coats on sale. I said, I know it. It's always a reason why you're spending for them grandkids. Christmas comes around, and they're just like, toys. Why? Because they get them all year. Grandma makes sure of that. She makes sure they get them all year. But you know what? That's the good life. She's got the money, she can go do it. That you're on your way to that place. Praise God. Richard just told you. See, we've been redeemed. Blake, give me that Galatians. What scripture you got next, man? Give me that. Whatever you got next. Let's stay on culture. As newborn babes, desire the real milk of the word that you may grow. That you may grow. Somebody say grow.
Grow.
See, we can stay baby Christians. We can stay weak spiritually. You know, and it's not all the preaching we hear on TV. Nothing wrong with that. It's not all the Facebook scriptures. It's not all that. It's not just about coming to church and hearing a good sermon. But all of that is in, it involves. It's when you are alone and when you are, you know your weaknesses. You know your failures. You know. But you turn to God and you say, God, in my weakness, then am I made strong because I'm trusting in you. Lord, I'm trusting in you. See, there's things in my life that I believed in my mind that I would never be able to overcome. But I took Romans in there where it says sin shall not have dominion over you. I took that on a lot of things. On drugs. I mean, there was a lot of things in my life. I confessed that. What was I doing? Fighting the good fight. Growing. I didn't feel like I was growing. I didn't see no evidence. And I'm here to tell you this morning, all the evidence you need to know that you've got victory in your body for healing is the Word. If you're looking for other evidence to know, then you're not going to more than likely have it.
That's right.
Unless God just decides to do a miracle. Jesus told them, be it done to you according to what? Your faith. He said, be it done unto you according to your faith. Now, if you believe you're never going to have a good life, you're not going to fight for it. You're not going to get an urn. You're not going to get scriptures. And you're not going to fast. And you're not going to pray. And you're not going to draw closer to the Lord. You know. But if you believe there's a better life from where you're at into your future, then you must go in there. It's just like this right here, you know. I've said before and said, oh, God, I thank you. I'll have garage doors here. And God say, go sell. I'm believing God. But he'd say, go sell. See, if I believe in God, you know, to expand my business, then I just don't sit there and do nothing. He says, go do something. Go sell. Go do something. And you know what? I did that 3 days a week. I said, okay, God, you know, maybe believing you is a little deeper than what I think. If I'm believing you, then I found out what James said. He said, faith without works is dead. I found out that I had to have some correspondence. Well, I had corresponding action this morning with my wrist on healing. If I believe I'm healed, then I just don't let it stay. I resist it. I mean, you got to resist sickness. Resist arthritis. Just like Richard, he resisted being put on a fixed income. Now the dude can just make all he wants to work. It's just unlimited. Him and his family ain't suffered financially unless wrong choices since he's been making big money. I mean, don't you make big money and not be a good steward and still be broke?
That's right.
That's not godly either. The godly thing is make money, tithe, give God his part, save a little bit. Well, I ain't got much to save. $3 is more than nothing. If you'll start with three, let me give you a little example. Travis, one time, I helped him out, you know, got him a truck, paid him $140-something a month, and you know, when he was 16, 17, or whatever, we give him his first one. Let it work. Well, we let it work through the summer and pay some on it, and then we paid it off. And then we gave him that one. That's the last one we give you. You know, we're not giving him more. Get your own, you know. But anyways, I wanted him to have, I mean, he's always been a big truck. He's always liked, his boy seems to be the same way. Big truck, monster truck, big tractors. He seems to be the same way, you know, right now. But anyways, you know, I thought, you know what? I've got to help him go from $145 fade to $300 fade in a month. And so I go and I pick out this truck for him, and I call the bank, and I get it, and it's $300 a month, wasn't it? Now he was kind of choking on $145 to start with. Then he finally got settled in, you know, and I told him, well, the Lord will supply the Lord. I was just mentoring, you know, well, don't fear, you know, just, you know, believe God. And I'm helping him grow up. See, the Bible says that we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory, right? He's taking us from faith to faith. Faith, one level to another level to another level. To one level of glory to another to another to another. So we're not to stay the same. We're to grow. We're to grow. Hallelujah. And it's not just up to God. He done finished it at Calvary. God told Teresa one time, went to a men's meeting. She went up there to find out how to straighten me out. Women's meeting. She went up there and with her thinking that she's going to learn how to straighten me out. You know, so she gets up there at the women's meeting, and then they started to, she come back with the information, prophesy what she wants me to be instead of what I am. So she started telling God what a man of God or whatever she did, you know. And you know what? It caused me to want to change. Her staying on me caused me to want to backslide and kill her. So you know what? What God was doing was saying, you believe me for the desired results that you desire that he for him to be, and I'll give them to you. But you know, most of the time they don't change. He don't change the person to suit me. Most of the time he changes me, and everybody suits me. Then what I do? Grow a little bit. Well, you know, Travis. Then he's like, "Whoa, 300! Boy, you seen that truck, Matt? Pulled up there." And I said, "There's your truck." And it's sitting there. It's a big four-wheel drive, extended cab, burgundy. Had one little scratch on the whole truck. And I give $16,000 for this one. He said, he's like, "Where's it at, Dad?" He's right in front of him. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see that nice truck. But Daddy could. The Lord sees good things for you. See, but we got to grow so that we can see past the little to really what God wants in our life. To be healed. To be totally healed. To walk in divine health. I don't care how long it's been. There was a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. Had been a long time. There was a guy at the pool with Vesta. And he kept complaining. Nobody to put him in the pool. You know, but see, the thing about it is, all they had to do was get in touch their faith and release their faith, and that woman was healed. She had been to doctors, and I get these things out of the Bible because I know that my body is getting older. I know that. The Bible says that that our outward man is perishing, but the Bible also says that the inward man is renewed day by day. So I'm not going to say, well, it's just getting older and I'm going to lose my hair like David. No, I'm getting up here, you know. But I'm not going just to give in to the way statistics say and all of that, because we have different odds. We have different odds. We are the people of the Most High. We are the people of the healer, the provider, hallelujah. We have a supernatural walk here that defies all the odds of the natural. Yeah. By all odds, I should be broke. Yeah. I broke the mold in my family, bless God. Now, they can live like they want to, and I'm not downing them, bless God. But I'm telling you, I found out in that Bible that Jesus left me an inheritance. I found out in that Bible, bless God, that I'm supposed to leave my children. I'm supposed to leave land and things to my children's children. I found out in that Bible, bless God, that He would bless me and my children. And I mean, I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it for you. Yeah. But you know what? Satan will keep me down there. Well, you know how you was raised. And you know, things just happen. And, you know, good luck just don't happen to you. I quit trusting in luck a long time ago. And I started trusting in the one, the Bible says that He is able to do above. He's able to heal you beyond what you can think. He's able to bless you beyond what you can think. He's able to raise you up financially more than you're able to think. He's able to do abundantly above, greater than me and you can think or ask. But it says, according to the power that lives in me and you. He says, for us as newborn babes, desire the sincere, the real milk, that you may grow thereby. Now give me that. Give me the next one. Then. Here it is. 1 Timothy 6:20. The good fight of faith.
Right.
See, the fight you're in don't feel good. But it's a good fight. If you stay in faith, the fight will end up good. Because this walk of faith is a good fight. It's not a losing fight. It's not if I get to keep my marriage. It's not if I get to keep my house. It's not if I get free from the bondages of this world. It's not if. It is just a matter of time until I walk on out into the freedom that Jesus already did for me over 2,000 years ago. And you. Well, my struggle's real. All of our struggles are real. Come on, somebody. All of our struggles are real.
Yep. Amen.
I wasn't going to go with debt. I made up my mind, no going into those tractors. And I got a couple, three tractors up there, you know, and you just have to work on them all the time. You know what I'm saying? You know, do something to them. And so I called I told that dude, I said, I want that tractor, blah, blah, so many horsepower, whatever it was. Will it carry what he is? And he said, yeah. And then he said, well, come on over here. I said, ain't no need me coming over there. I said, I'll just give you my information. And then I'll come pick the tractor up. He said, well, you got good credits? I said, you'll find out. Because see, I believe now that a good name, I've got a good name. I took that Bible back in there when I didn't have a good name. I did not have one. I did not have no credit. I did not have a driver's license. And I took that Bible and I said, Lord, your word says a good name is rather to be, God, I want a good name. I want a good name, Lord. That means I'll have driver's license. That means I won't be a drug dealer. You know, Lord, that means I'll be a good husband. I'll be a good dad. I want to have a good name. Well, the guy calls me and he says, hey, you come on over here and get your tractor. And so I thought about it. What I did for him, I thought, man, I'm not going to get us in debt anymore. Bad as I wanted to. See, sometimes you just got to wait on the Lord. When you are believing God for something, don't waver because you think that it's not going to work out the way that you think it will. Because God has, like Teresa says, 1,001 ways to get stuff to you and get ideas to you and see breakthroughs for you that me and you ain't even considered. And so I told the guy, well, I jumped the gun, man. I'm not ready to go in debt for a tractor, man. I've just got, I owe a little bit on my house and I'm done with these payments. I'm 52 years old, whatever I tell you. I thought, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do my family like that. See, you got to think about your choices are affecting your family.
Amen.
My choices are affecting you.
Yeah.
My choices are affecting my son. my brothers, my sisters. And so I want to make sure that I lead in the way of right. Doing what's right. Well, went on, you know, and I thought, well, bless God, Lord, I ain't going to borrow no money. Praise God, your word says I don't have to. And I said, I won't lay it down that I can't have a tractor. In Jesus' name, I receive my tractor, Lord. In Jesus' name, debt free. I'll pay cash or I won't get it, bless God. I believe. And I said, and I told the Lord, I said, I believe I won't have to wait very long. I believe I'll get my tractor in Jesus' name. I just receive it. Well, you know what? It wasn't too long went by. My brother come to me, and I'd done some trading with him with a big four-wheel drive tractor. Front end, a part was broke on it, $600, you know, and all that stuff. And I did some trading with him. He bought him a new, and he comes to me, and he said, I've been praying about that tractor. He said, and there was two of you I was thinking about giving it to. He said, you kept coming up in my heart every time I would pray. He said, I'm giving it to you. Look, I'm debt-free. I went over there, and I had to spend it. I was over there yesterday, and I went over there and got cranked up. I thought, glory. That went around there. Vroom, boy, freedom. Sounds good. No payment. That was freedom.
Amen.
Never been there before, did it? Praise God. Now I'm telling you, that's not my story. God is leading his people into the plan that he already has for you, and it will be wonderful. God told me one time, he said, don't you ever think about, you were the same woman for all of them years, you know, a fresh relationship. I said, God, no, I don't think that devilish way. Lord Jesus, no. I said, let me give you a little scenario. I said, I don't remember how old. I said, how many women ain't got 18 kids my age? I said, how many of them got 14 grandkids? I said, I'm going to have to marry them and the grandkids and her mama and her daddy and her sister and her brother and her cousins. I don't think so. It ain't just this little vision land like you're going to go to down here to Double B and eat supper every week with them. Well, they're going to bring all the kids and the grandkids next week. All the kids didn't get the kids and the grandkids. Now they got a whole busload and you're like, whoa. Now it's going to cost me $300 to eat out, honey. I don't know. I said it wouldn't be worth it, would it? I said, you look at it like that, man. I said, I'm staying married.
Amen.
I'll just keep my son. And I don't think they had grandkids at that time. Had kids. I said, I don't think so. See, that's just the wisdom of God. If something happened to Teresa, I'm not available. I'm going to put sold out. Don't fake it, see. You think I'm kidding you, don't you? I'm going to put no fake. Look how messed up this world is. And you think I'm going to get involved in it? No. I'm just going to love on y'all, love my grandkids, keep on preaching, and be happy. That's fighting a good fight. Do you know when you resist the devil, that's a good fight.
Amen.
Sitting one time, and just I'm sitting there eating breakfast one morning, and I'm just sitting there all by myself. I'm just enjoying me a meal, and a woman walks in and sits down right across from me. I'm like, Jesus, this just didn't happen to me, did it? I'm sitting there, you know that seduction spirit. I mean, hello. I'm like, God, man, this just happened to me. And I thought, man, one of the priests around here anymore. Maybe she wouldn't be. Man, we get killed with a spatula. I sat there for a second, meal and all. And I just shoved it back, and I got up. I said, see you. Went over there, and he said, how was your breakfast? I said, I don't know. You paid for this, her breakfast. You didn't get that for her. She wasn't there. I said, no, she didn't have it. I love breakfast and all. Went and got me some breakfast somewhere else. Don't the Bible say resist the devil?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just leave him sitting there. You just say, no. I mean, I've had people before. I mean, one of my buddies, he said, look, man, you can smoke a joint, can't you? I said, yeah, it ain't going to send me to hell. I said, a joint won't send me to hell, man. I can smoke a joint if I want to. I said, but what I've realized over the course of doing drugs and stuff is that I started out with marijuana. My brother, you know, turned me on to marijuana when I was about 12, and I smoked marijuana, you know, and everything. I said, but, you know, marijuana wasn't high enough for me. I said, so it led me to cocaine. Then it led me to other stuff, you know, and it just led me to a lot. It led me into pornography. See, when you think you got to have pornography for your marriage to be better, then you're done distorted. I don't need pornography. Yeah, one time I had a girlfriend or something back there riding with me, and had his girlfriend on there with her little nighty or whatever it was, you know, and gonna show me. I said, I don't want to see that garbage. I said, listen to me, man. I said, don't put pornography in my face. I got my own phone if I want to pull up pornography. You sure ain't going to shove it in my face. Right? If I'm going to get into pornography, I'm going to make my own choice to do it. Right? It ain't going to be because Satan tricked me. It's going to be because I just did it. Y'all are quiet. But I don't need pornography in my marriage. I used to have it. I thought it up, that it spruced up the sex life. But really all it spruced up was that lust spirit.
Yeah.
All it done is fed lust.
Yeah.
Then you're not having a love relationship, you're having a lust relationship.
Right.
You're not connecting with your heart, you're just connecting for the sex.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to talk about this stuff in church, right? So if you think you got to have pornography to beef up your sex life, no, it's going to make you lust. And you're not going to get close to your mate, male or female. So you don't need pornography to make your marriage better. Man, y'all are fine. This is finally a good thought.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now if I get intimate with my wife, I enjoy it. I know we're in church. TV ain't gonna teach you. It's gonna teach you that, you know, pornography.
Yep.
It's gonna teach you the wrong way. The Bible teaches us the right way, praise God. So I wanna encourage you about that. Don't tell us, don't laugh. I know we in church, but listen to me. See, God has a pathway to a healthy marriage. He has a pathway to a healthy relationship with your kids, with your grandkids, with your neighbors, praise God. I mean, this took a lot for me to stay neighbor friendly with my neighbor. I mean, there's a bull out. My neighbor called me yesterday. He said, your bull's in your yard. I said, man, you know what bull that is. I told him, I said, listen, I said, you know, he said, I know it, man. I was just telling you, your neighbor's bull is back out in your yard. I said, I know it. You knew it wasn't my bull. I said, listen, man. I said, why don't you just go ahead and lay the bull down and solve all of our problems? Because I can't do it, see. I said, why don't you just go ahead and lay the bull down and solve all of our problems? I said, listen, man, don't you realize that this is the third generation bull doing the same thing that daddy and grandpa did? And this third generation bull ain't going to get me like grandpa did. Now, the grandpa bull got me. Almost killed it. Hit it with my truck. I was going to go over there and half kill the neighbor. I'm tired. You know, but then here comes its kid. See, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He tries to come. He watches what we do and how we react to things. And then he plans and plots our life around that stuff. And then bring, but as we grow, and he don't know how to handle us. I mean, we grow and he don't know how to handle it. He sent the daddy, the grandpa, and I got mad, hit the bull. The bull bucked up against me. I got out of the truck, took a rod, and I warped him. I mean, and I ran him home on foot. That was dumb. The bull could have got me. I was mad. The second one, I didn't get that mad. I went and fixed the dude's fence. And this one, I just drive by like he ain't even there. Hello, neighbor. I'm serious. pulled out this morning in the box truck, and there he is over in the neighbor's yard. And I'm like, there that little idiot is. Gone. But you know what? I've seen me grow from Grandpa. Third generation bull. He can't move me. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I might get him when he gets smacked on the highway and killed, throw him in there and take him to the butcher box and get me some steak. I want him out to kill him. So I want to encourage you. Don't yield. Don't yield a wrong way to things. Stay in the right spirit. Take the word of God and say, God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Lord. I can overcome this, Lord. I am the healed of God. And I speak to this body and I command. That's the good thought of faith. That's not being you being weird. That's you not tolerating the things that Jesus redeemed you from. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. That the blessing of Abraham might come on us through the Spirit. See, God's will is the blessing of Abraham to come on us. And for us to be well and spiritually and wealthy. God told me one time, he said, you can't tell me. I'm going to have to close. Doesn't catch y'all longer. But it's just okay. We only have one service. We could be having Sunday night and then you really need it out. God told me one time, he said, you can't convince me that you ain't never had to pay no bills at that church. I said, I'm not going to try to convince you. I said, bless God, God started that church. I said, if God can't take care of that church, I sure ain't paying God's bills.
Amen.
Now, he thought that was a little cocky. But that was just my faith. I mean, I was just passionate about what I was saying, you know. Well, didn't God take our life on? He said, you'd supply all of our needs. Well, we're going to have to take him in his word and say, God, you said you'd supply all of my needs. Don't just think about it in the natural. Think about it spiritually, with your kids, financially. Put it in every arena. You said you would supply all of my needs according to your riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Well, how rich is he? But if you don't fight the good fight of faith, you're just going to be on the sidelines like the rest of them, but you're like to be in that ball game. Well, you could just get up and play.
Yeah.
Some of them sitting at home today, well, church is boring. No, you are. We're alive. We're getting people healed. We're seeing cancer healed. We're seeing lives changed. We're getting... I gave people money here in church today. The Lord told me to give away some money. Y'all sitting at home won't never get none of mine. And I bust people with $100 bills all the time. And people here, they give away money all the time. And y'all sitting at home, oh God, my lot bill. Your lot bill's in church. Your lot bill's in church. Your car payment's in church. Your car payment, all of that's linked to church. Yeah. You get out away from church, you'll go broke and get weaker and weaker and weaker. If you don't believe me, just think about the many times that you've done it and how it ended up that way. And get smarter than that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, that this fight of faith is a good fight. It's already been won. And Lord, we just yield all.